Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 1, we were talking about Christians not enduring sound doctrine in the last days. Let's continue with that subject today.
Plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
In 2 Timothy 4:3 it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." In other words, he's saying that in the last days, there's going to be an increase of those that want feelings in the church. Oh, I just felt so good. I went there and it made me feel so good. Oh, boy, wasn't that great? Oh, we had tears. Oh, we laughed. And they're living for emotion. They're living for feelings. They're living for whatever stirs or excites their feelings, makes them happy. And he said in the last days, they would not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine often tells us of what's wrong in our life as well as what we need to be doing. And that brings conviction. People won't endure that in the last days. And that's why you see people, one time it seemed like they're faithful. Now they're going to churches where they rock and roll, where there are no standards. And why are they doing that? Oh, they've had some neat little seminary professors that have no idea what the Bible's talking about. They've taken some scriptures, they've twisted them, and now they apply liberty and grace to do whatever you want. You can drink, you can smoke, you can do anything you want, you can gossip, you can sow discord, because now we're under grace. And my friend, that is a doctrine straight out of hell, and whether the preacher knows it or not, he is being influenced by a demon, just like those prophets of God in the days of Micaiah in the 22nd chapter of Kings, when they had a lying spirit in their mouth and they thought it was a good spirit, and it was not. And they didn't know the difference, and I'm afraid too much of that is going on today. In the early church at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas met for an entire year with the local church. And Acts 11:26 states, they taught much people. And the idea there is of patient teaching. The biblical church growth is a gradual process. 2 Timothy 4:3 said they would not endure sound doctrine. What is a preacher to do then? Well, 2 Timothy 4:2. Even before he tells you what the problem is, he gives you the solution. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. That is when they're not enduring sound doctrine. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering, in other words, you just keep on doing it, and doctrine. You just keep teaching and preaching the word. Now, people won't like that. And you'll find people in the church that don't like that. But my friend, the Bible tells the preacher to keep on. Some think the church can't concentrate on teaching and evangelism at the same time. They act as if doctrine and zeal are irreconcilable. But my friend, scriptures demonstrate it differently. The aim of this verse was to present every man perfect in Christ. Now, the word perfect here in verse 28 of Colossians 1 means not sinless perfection, but it means mature, by instruction in wisdom. Wisdom, from the Greek word, is defined as the knowledge of how to regulate one's relationship with God. Wisdom, which is related to goodness, preaches Jesus Christ. It is against sin. It preaches against sin. It is a preaching that calls to repentance. It is a preaching that instructs in doctrine. It helps bring to maturity. Pastoral responsibility is to preach. The membership responsibility in a church is to receive. They are to verify what he is saying by the Word of God, not by man's false so-called new revelation. So often people will come and you'll say, well, where do you get that? And you know what? Most often it's not out of the Bible. It's out of somebody's book. Maybe he's a famous preacher on television. Maybe he's a famous preacher on the radio. And he's written a book. And oh, how wonderful it is. No. The books are not what tell us we are right or wrong and what new revelation we have today. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is complete and it's what we need. Has teaching and preaching brought repentance and wisdom, or does it bring rebellion and wrath toward the preacher, toward the church, towards doctrine in general? This summer, and each summer, they play the World Series. And usually that's about October of the year. I say summer, we ought to say fall. And they have the World Series. And when the World Series is over, there's a lot of people that are happy. But on the other hand, there are a lot of people that are not happy. They're kind of mad, kind of angry. People come to church. They hear the music, it blesses their heart. There's the children's work, it blesses their heart. The preaching of the Word as it is to men as they are blesses their heart. But the disgruntled person is critical. Therefore, he's not mature. He may have a knowledge, but he's not mature. He's not responsive to God. He quenches the Holy Spirit's work. And my friend, that is serious, and it deserves warning. Oh, my friend, if you're going to church with a critical spirit, you go to church and you're always walking out of there and you have something negative to say, either about Sunday school, about music, about the nursery, about the pastor, about the buses, or about anything else in the church, and hardly a week goes by that you don't say something negative about it, you are immature. You are very shallow as a Christian. I don't care if you're going to 5 Bible studies in a week and you've got a degree. You're shallow if that is a problem in your life. And that's something you need to confess it as a sin, confess it to those you've sinned against, repent, and turn from it. And so verse 29 says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul labors to bring you to maturity. That word labor means to grow weary, even to the point of exhaustion. The word striving there means intense struggling. It's like an athlete that agonizes in a very strenuous effort. It's that last kick of the race when he turns it all on. It's the weightlifter going for his max and he is expending all energy trying to push it up. And my question is, have I ever worked for the Lord Jesus Christ after this matter? Have I labored and strived? And he says, according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, the word working is from the Greek word energia. We get our word energy. It means working efficiency. In the Bible, this Greek word is used only of superhuman power. This word is used in conjunction with God and with Satan in the Bible. The word mightily is dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from it. It means power, dynamite power. And the tense there in the Greek is a continuous tense. So God works in us continually. And he wants to work his dynamite power in and through us. Now, Paul was God's instrument to do God's work. This is divine energy and supernatural power working through him. And that same promise is for you. In 1 John 4 and verse 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, my friend, the Lord wants you to have this mighty power, not to do miracles like being able to handle a poisonous snake. It's not to do miracles of going in and touching somebody with Alzheimer's and suddenly they don't have it. No, that's not the idea. It's the idea of being empowered that regardless of your cross, to be able to lift it, to carry it, and spread the gospel. He works in us mightily, my friend, for two reasons. Number one is to get the gospel out that men might be saved. And then secondly, to build them up in the New Testament faith of God's Word. Now, are you allowing God's Spirit to work in you? Are you religious but rebellious? Are you witnessing? Do you encourage other Christians to be faithful? Do you go to the servants of God, whether it's a pastor, whether it's, as myself, a radio preacher, or maybe it's the radio station that has great Christian broadcasting on it and great Christian music, and you're listening to it? And have you written them letters of encouragement to say, you know, I really appreciate you doing this, and you may not be able to send them money, and you'd like to, but you can't. Well, don't let not being able to send money keep you from being an encouragement. Oh, my friend, there is a reward. There is a crown of glory for those that edify the brethren. And even Jesus said that if you gave a cup of water to a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'd receive a prophet's reward. So make sure that you are one that encourages your fellow believers in Christ. Now, my friend, you cannot do all the good works in the world and expect to go to heaven if Jesus Christ is not your Savior. You see, He must be your Lord. He must be your Savior. He must be in your heart and life as your God. And He wants to be. Do you have that blessed assurance that if you were to die today, that heaven is your home? My friend, I want to share with you very quickly how to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your only hope of heaven and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are, Christ died for us. In Romans 10:9, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, my friend, it takes a heart belief. You say, Brother Andy, I'd like to ask God to save me. If God will take me, I want him to have me. Well, my friend, God wants you. So why not, right now, pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I right now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you just asked the Lord to save you, please write us and let us know. Well, I see my time is up now, and I want to thank you for listening today. And my friend, may the lamp of God's Word be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.